Stein Online's live Clubland Q&A is just 1 minute away.
This is Mark Stein, back after four sellout voyages for the fifth annual Mark Stein Cruise. If you like the sound of April in Portugal and Spain on the fabulous new ship, the Celebrity Apex, well, you'll be at the apex of celebrity for our traditional week of sun, sea, and civilizational collapse. I'll have special guests from both sides of the Atlantic, including a reunion of all your favourite telly presenters from the glory days of GB News, who've since been sacked. And we'll do all the things you like about the Mark Stein Show and Stein Online, but close up and on water. More details at steinonline.com or marksteincruise.com.
The Stein Online Clubland Q&A begins right now. Here's Mark.
Hey, welcome along. New Year's Day 2025. It is 2 p.m. in the party town of New Orleans, where for 15 revelers' families, New Year will never be the same. 3 p.m. in Washington, D.C., where the pretense, which, as we've just seen, can be life-endangering, the pretense that Joe Biden is the chief executive of the United States still has 3 weeks to run. 4 p.m. in the beautiful Canadian Maritimes, 4:30 p.m. in fabulous Newfoundland and beyond the Americas, 8 p.m. in London, Stab Central, 9 p.m. in Berlin, also Stab Central, 10 p.m. in Kiev. Oh, I can't do it today. 10 p.m. in Kiev, 11 p.m. in Damascus, capital city of the new utopia, if you can lie low during the French bombing runs. 11:30 p.m. in Tehran for all you Newfoundlanders who moved to Iran out of solidarity with the half-hour time zone. 1:45 in Kathmandu for all you Iranians who moved to Nepal to check out the quarter-hour time zone. 4 a.m. in Singapore and Honkers. I'm sorry about that. 7 a.m. in Sydney and Melbourne, which is not a terribly civilized hour for the kippers and kedgeree. 9 a.m. in Auckland, and even later in His Majesty's dominions across the Pacific. 300 years ago, January the 1st, 1725, the Thomas Cantor of Leipzig, Johann Sebastian Bach by name, led the first performance of his new cantata, Jesu Nun Sei Gepreiset, Jesus Now Be Praised. We got anything to match that this New Year's Day? Oh, no? Oh, you do surprise me. This is our first Q&A of a new year, the first Clubland Q&A. So I'm interested in your thoughts on what was most significant about 2024 and your thoughts about the 12 months ahead. I should say that I'm in a very angry mood today, which is not never really the best condition in which to do shows such as this. I'd been reading about all this stuff about grooming gangs. The judges' decisions that have shocked the English news. 11-year-old girls being anally gang raped. And it's shock, these people. Where is this Groundhog Day for groomers? These are 10-year-old stories. There are thousands and thousands of these girls being gang raped, children being gang raped. This girl, it started, I think, when she was 11 years old, being gang raped in towns, every town of any size, including quite small ones, up and down the spine of England. And oh, every so often we run a story and say, oh, we're shocked, it's never going to happen again. Here's the problem in towns like Rotherham and in Telford, as anyone who's had even a casual acquaintance with the Mark Steyn Show would know, because Sammy Woodhouse, one of our favourite guests, Sammy's going to be on the Mark Steyn crew. Sammy has been talking about this for a decade now. She talked to me about it in Rotherham 10 years ago. It's all been known for a decade, and yet in the Groundhog Day of the British, oh, I'm totally shocked. But have you heard about all this anal child rape? Child gang rape? Anal child gang? Anal gang child rape? I don't even know what to call it. So let's pick a euphemism that nobody quite understands, like grooming. Laura Perrins has written a great piece. Laura Perrins, who was on our Christmas Eve lessons and carols, she read the Lord's Prayer. But other than that, she's got a terrific piece in The Conservative Woman about Fraser Nelson, who's basically just written, with his usual exquisite timing, has just written a piece about how, Britain is such a great immigration success story. As Laura points out, he's what passes for a conservative in the United Kingdom. He's the editor of The Conservative Weekly, The Spectator. He writes for, oh, he did, he's just moved to The Times now, but he wrote for the conservative paper, The Telegraph. And he's saying about, oh, look at, why don't we ever stop to celebrate how great, there's little girls being gang raped in towns up and down England, but because they're not his little girls, he doesn't get, because they're like white slags, packy shaggers, white working class girls, he doesn't care. There's nothing to be said. You know, he says, oh, you know, whatever it is, bicycle theft is down. Who cares whether bicycle theft is down when the rape of children is up? So I was in an angry mood. Anyway, and then I see this news out of New Orleans, and I make the mistake of looking at the first press conference, and it's not just, you know, the thing I used to go on about on Rush, where there's representatives of 37 crap-ass agencies all behind the microphone, all jostling to get their 5 minutes in the sun, you know, that's just business as usual, which you will recall from the Las Vegas Mandalay Bay massacre, still mysteriously unexplained all these years later, but that's just business as usual. The crap-ass wankers from the crap-ass wanker agencies all jostling, all the federal, the state, the county, the local, they've all got to be in there. And that's just business as usual. What was interesting was the way the FBI spokesman at this one this morning declared, quote, this is not a terrorist event, unquote. At that point, even the FBI, I mean, the FBI cannot be this stupid. The FBI must have known the truck had been found with an ISIS flag, right? Okay, so an ISIS flag. Remember ISIS, the Islamic State in whatever it was? ISIS flag has been found in the truck, but the spokesmorons, she still says, quote, this is not a terrorist event. There are two things that can happen when a truck plows into a crowd, because it's the truck. It was an excavator in Germany. It's usually an SUV that suddenly goes rogue and plows. And so they establish that another SUV has gone rogue or whatever. They either don't know enough to rule that it's terrorism, so they can say, well, we have no view on that at this moment. She knew at the time the truck was recovered with the ISIS flag in it. So this is disturbing to me, because the FBI, which doesn't come out of this attack well, the FBI, the New Orleans office, for a start, was still devoting its, we're getting up to what now, 4 years, right, after January 6th. And the New Orleans FBI office is still investigating January the 6th. The murderous truck, the vehicle, one of these rogue vehicles that suddenly went all jihadist, this rogue vehicle was driven across the border 2 days ago, right? I'll bet she knew that too. But she still declared that, quote, this is not a terrorist event. So your government is lying to you. And that's, I haven't watched a lot of cable TV for a long time now, but I'll listen to a lot of talk radio, mainly on doctor's advice. But are all the sturdy patriotic types still? I know these straight shooting G-men. Yes, there might be a couple of rotten apples in there, but most of these fine upstart, are they still doing that routine? If you're not interested in abolishing the FBI and replacing it with something non-corrupt, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem, as many of the WankerCon write are. As I said, I'm in a bad mood today about this. I find all this, it's a terrible to have anybody in your family murdered is a terrible business. But to have them killed on Christmas Day or New Year's Day or your birthday taints that. You don't, it's not like it happening on April 23rd, when it taints that day for the rest of your life. And this shouldn't have happened. And one reason it happened, the truck was admitted, right, to the United States. It was driven across the southern border 2 days ago. 2 months in to the uniquely unique peaceful transition of power. These people are dead because of the wanker transition of power. How long are you going to... Oh, but it's in the Constitution. Please stop everything and let's all dance around to the United States Constitution for 20 minutes. It was not a duly elected government. For a start, this whole peaceful transition of power thing, it's basically a lame duck administration. But instead of just doing the lame duck thing, not doing any, big these guys are letting as many people into the country, right? I would call for Joe Biden to be hanged from a lamppost, were it not for the fact that we all know that he has not been president for 4 years, and we don't know who has been president, right? That's the bit of a problem. In a supposedly self-governing society, you have no idea who has been running things for 4 years. And everybody knew that. You can look up when I first used the phrase, the dead husk of a moth-eaten sock puppet that is Joe Biden, right? He's never been president. But in the, what was it they like to say? What's it they like to say? The democracy dies in darkness? Yeah, tell me something I don't know. Who's been running the government? Because whoever has been running the government has made a decision during the peaceful transition of power that they're going to let as many people in as possible. So, 2 days ago, they let this truck in. And as the first headline said, it was the truck that went rogue and has killed what's now up to 15 people. As I said, I'm angry about it. It all comes back. It doesn't matter. It's the same with the grooming gangs. It's the same with the rogue excavator in Germany. It's the same with the people who lit up the nativity scene in France. It's immigration. It's immigration. And 1.5 of the only 2 parties in the United States are in favor of open borders. Trump should have had 2 months of work under his belt now. He would have anywhere else. And who's to say whether this truck would have been admitted to do the damage it did? But the FBI lying, you know, so they wait. They have to know something before they give a press conference. So she knows this woman. Is she still? Oh, yes, of course, she's still got her job. Because she shattered the glass ceiling or whatever it is. And so the FBI spokesmoron here is in no danger. You can't fire a woman in America. Is she a black woman? I think she's a black woman. You can't fire a black woman in America. That's completely absurd. So she's going to keep her job. She declared, quote unquote, this is not a terrorist event, which was a lie. It's supposed to be a nation, a republic, a self-governing republic. But they're lying to you about this, and they've been lying to you about 4 years, and the media, for the most part, are happy to go along with the lie. I'm sorry, as I said, I was angry. I'll calm down, and let's get to your questions. Lenny Cooperman says, "Hi, Mark, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. I'm a new and happy member of the club." Well, we're happy to have you, and thank you for signing up. We hope other people will want to do so in this new year. And Lenny says, "Having endured a few of the slings and arrows with which you've been confronted, it's an honour to support you. My question is this. In light of the recent murderous event in New Orleans, coupled with Germany's recent experience in multiculturalism and the totalitarian turn in the UK, how does a society build a consensus sufficient to take the necessary steps to reverse this disturbing trend? Got any hope for us this holiday season?" Well, I'm a bit hopeful in a certain sense, in that it's clear that this situation, there are mild differences between the various nations of the West, but it all comes down to immigration. Everything comes down to immigration. If you're having difficulty, if you're having to wait rather longer when you go to the emergency room of your local hospital, if you're finding it difficult to buy property in developed Western cities, get your first foot on the property ladder. And if you don't like the way you have to go past security checkpoints to go to everything, the whatever it's called, the Superdome or whatever it is in New Orleans, is under lockdown right now. I've been seeing stories, you know, that the barricades on Bourbon Street had been taken down for cleaning or remodeling or repainting or perhaps decking them out as you know, in some festive color. That was in November, right, which is 2 months ago now, and they still haven't been put back. You know, so betting on, as we were told after the attack on the German Christmas market, betting on the industrial scale bolidization of every interaction in a civilized society isn't going to do anything. You should be furious. I made a reference. I probably shouldn't have done it because, unlike the Brit wanker coppers, the FBI can do a dawn raid and shoot you for resisting arrest. I made a reference to hanging people from lampposts. And there is something disturbing about the passivity about things that are a result of government policy. policy. Just to go back to the grooming gangs in Rotherham, they're not gang raping 11-year-old girls because they've been there since the 12th century. They were imported to gang rape the 12-year-old girls as a conscious public policy. Likewise, this guy, Shamsun Din Jabba, he's a Texas man. Right, he's a Texas man. I mean, how much longer are you going to put up with it? That's the question in America. That's the question in Canada. That's the question in England, in Ireland, in France, in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in Italy, in every Western nation. There are subtle differences, and everyone gets fascinated. Christopher Hitchens, very nice chap, but he too, he failed to think. He failed to grasp one of the central points of America alone, because he was fascinated by the differences between, say, Turks in Germany and Pakistanis in Yorkshire and Moroccans in the Netherlands. Why are all the headlines the same, right? Oh, a stabbing. Oh, wait, a stabbing. Is that in the UK or is it in Japan? Why are they all the same? These fascinating little micro nuances don't justify mass migration. Nobody needs it. I'm sorry, I'm getting all angry again. George Pereira writes, Mark, events are moving quickly at Tesla that no one recalls arriving explodes outside the Las Vegas Trump Tower. That's true. That's the other story today. And there are people injured from that. And that's mysteriously being investigated. Have the FBI declared that that's not a terrorist event yet? Is that maybe that FBI spokeswoman from New Orleans can call her chum in Nevada and they can confidently declare that that one's not terrorism either? In New Orleans, a truck mows down people on Bourbon Street. The death toll is already up to 15. The driver is Shamsun Din Jabba, an American citizen from Texas. Of course, the obligatory "he is American" is included. I don't know why people bother. Oh well, yes, but he's not an immigrant. He's not a foreigner. He's a U.S. citizen. Yeah, all that shows is that you're giving your citizenship away, you wankers, to people who hate you. All that proves is that all that thing, if you go along to, and it's worth doing this actually, if you've never seen what it's like for someone to undergo naturalization, go along and watch it where the person explains the thing, or look at the test where someone's supposed to examine them to see whether they've imbibed all the glorious ideas that make this country so desirable. And all these people aced the test. And there's representatives from all the congressmen and senators standing there with little, and they hand you a little, miniature American flag to wave, and they give out something telling you how to contact your congressman or whatever. And then they go, oh, yes, thank you very much. I love it. It's very good. I'm so proud to be an American. I must go now. I have rented a truck, and I want to accomplish what I need to accomplish before I have to return the truck. It all comes down to immigration. Whatever's wrong, the fact that you know we're now told, as somebody pointed out in our comments section, we were told 30 years ago that China would be getting all the crappy manufacturing jobs that Americans are too smart for. Now we're told we're too stupid. And we've got to have or hand out all these, bring in everyone on the H-1B visa. It's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. It all comes down to the fact that the social mobility and the American dream are dead for a lot of people is all due to mass migration, which no country, no developed nation, I said this years ago on with Hannity or Tucker or whoever it was on Fox, and everyone had the vapors. But it's completely true. No developed nation needs mass migration. And the tragedy, this is apt for these 15 families. What's happened is not just a tragedy, it's a crime. But it's a crime committed by the government and the permanent state, so nobody will pay any price for it. Ross Spence says, surprise. Oh, I didn't read the end of George's thing. I'll come back to Ross Spence. Ross says, surprise, surprise, the New Orleans terrorist perpetrator is named Shamsun Din Jabbar and is the possessor of an ISIS flag. Look, the thing is here, what you've just said, the FBI knew when they held that first press conference. So the straight-shooting G-men are lying to your face now. It's not just the usual wankers behind the microphone from all the agencies. Just to go back to George, at least two sets... Yeah, there are already four or five more being rounded up. He expired in a gunfight with law enforcement. Someone in law enforcement rolled up the ISIS flag that Shamsud just happened to have with him and flying off the trailer hitch. Yeah, that's interesting too. That tampering with the crime scene, that would be. If it was just a village constable in a civilized town. At least two sets of explosives have been found in the area. Not to worry, the FBI is on the job. No terrorism is involved. Nothing to see here. As I said, if you're not in favor of abolishing the FBI, you're not serious. Keith Farrell says, welcome to 2025. New year, same old problems. As the US joins European countries in multi-culti headline activities. Do you think the US government will follow the European government's policy of whitewashing such incidents? Yeah, they've already done that. The FBI effectively was whitewashing the crime scene and whitewashing the character of this incident at that first press conference. Is that woman still employed? Oh, she's been promoted. Joe Biden, in his statement, emphasised that, oh, this has nothing to do with any particular community and we shouldn't retaliate. There's no justification. And the full force of the law will be applied to anybody who retaliates against unspecified communities. You mean like the community of politicians who brought us this policy? Christopher Gelber says, Mark, what do you think about Canada? Becoming the USA's 51st state during Trump's second term. After all, if President Polk had been a bit more gung-ho in 1846, it would be already. Happy New Year to you and all club members. There's no reason, you know, there's absolutely no reason for Americans to want to, it's one thing, you could credibly annex Greenland without it impacting your politics. You know, don't forget, when you import Canada, you'd be importing, because Canadian conservatives are not conservative in the way that some conservative guy in Texas is conservative, apart from Ted Cruz. He is Canadian, of course. But if you annexing. I'm taking this seriously because my Canada is dead. I regret that because I loved that Canada, but it's dead and gone. And there's a video that Monsieur Poilievre posted where he's talking about wackos. With respect to the present government of Canada, and he's just assembled 10 minutes of amusing, not so amusing things that Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland and co have said. But the fact is, you'd be annexing a huge population that you no longer are willing to assimilate. And all, you know, it's a good joke, and I like all the trolling of Justin and all the rest of it. And there are national security implications to giving up your territory, like the Panama Canal and what have you. But, you know, almost all the problems arise, again, because while the Constitution fetishists were doing the Constitution dance, there is no serious assimilation going on. So this guy, who is a US veteran, so maybe they'll be able to pass it off as just crazy PTSD, American veterans, quote, Texas man, unquote, going rogue. It'll be in the same way that they managed to mischaracterize a lot of other things. But in the end, you can't import people on huge numbers. The whole lesson, why America has gone down the toilet since the 70s, is because you can't import people on this scale if you have no attempt at assimilation. The thing is, this guy, I don't know anything about him, but I would imagine that if you look at the way he lives his life, it's now possible with the internet, you can be a quote-unquote Texas man and live your life in an entirely jihadist world online. You know, that's why he's got the ISIS flag in his truck. And the thing is, you need much smaller numbers of people coming in, and you need to be willing, as people did. And when people arrived in the 19th century, they could. Now we let so-called refugees fly back to spend the holidays with the country that's so dangerous they had to flee it. You know, all these people, refugees to Somalia, wrecked Minnesota. Half of them, not half of them, but a significant number of them were going back to Somalia all the time and accidentally self-detonating over there and then having to be repatriated, because they're Americans, in 20,000 pieces by the State Department so they could be buried in the United States. It's a numbers thing, you know. It's a numbers thing. And we don't need to make the country any bigger. We don't need 51st states. Because the thing is, when you got big, the whole thing about the size of nations is that you can be a highly centralized nation if you're a small nation, if you're Singapore or Norway. When you have big government, and so you attempt to have a centralized nation of a third of a billion people, so that we have all these fine, upstanding, straight-shooting G-men in New Orleans, and they're all busy investigating January the 6th, 4 years on, because that's what the wankers in Washington have told them. There's no point making a country like that any bigger. There really isn't. William Strug says, "Dear Mark, Happy New Year. I hope 2025 is the year your health improves." Well, I thank you for that. But I'd be surprised. "Two decades ago, I learned about Canadian politics through your columns. Now you seem uninterested in Justin's machinations. Have you concluded that Canadian parliamentary intrigue just doesn't matter anymore?" Well, that's not really a Canadian point. That's true of everything. It's like I make jokes here. I do it every week about who's 2 points up in Iowa. I couldn't care less. Likewise, I can't really get interested in what's behind Chrystia Freeland deciding to yank the rug out from under Justin at this moment. Has she got some ambitions of her own? Likewise, in the United Kingdom, I came up with, poor fella's dead now, but he was like a constant presence in Mrs. Thatcher's ministries through the 80s and then into the, I think he was Leader of the House of Lords under John Major, if I remember correctly, the second Lord Belstead. And He was an incredibly dull guy, and it was really it's difficult to make. But I made I have a small subcategory of my writing that 30 something years ago included Lord Belstead jokes. I'm not into that now because we're beyond politics. We're beyond parliamentary intrigue, as you put it, because the government, just to take a quick tour of the map, you know, there's no point. I was calling Joe Biden the dead husk of a moth-eaten suck puppet 4 years ago because it was perfectly obvious that he was in no condition to run anything. And we now learn 4 years later that's true. What we don't know is who has actually been running the country. Now, there are all kinds of clever people who think it's this person and that person. It'll be people you've never heard of. And these characters now just suddenly emerge, like the way, Rishi Sunak, he's inevitable. He's got to be prime minister. But wait a minute, why has he got to be prime minister? He's absolutely hopeless at politics and nobody likes him. Oh, it doesn't matter. He's exactly what we need. Emmanuel Macron, before that, he just came out of nowhere as the globalist's choice after whatever his name was, the socialist guy, French president. His numbers were so bad that he couldn't run again. But they wanted someone from the, quote, establishment to take out Marine Le Pen. So they produced this guy out of nowhere. He comes out of nowhere. It's the same in almost every, and likewise with Justin Trudeau, which was truly pitiful and pathetic. You know, they're all the Chinese think he's a joke. They call him the little potato because his dad was the big potato. But you know, what's going on is beyond politics now. Why do they all? Why did they all do the same thing on climate? You know, they Boris Johnson said to me over lunch years ago, he goes, this global warming thing is complete bollocks, isn't it? Yeah, it's complete bollocks. And then he becomes prime minister and suddenly his views evolve on that. Why does that happen? So it's not. I'm totally uninterested in politicians. I couldn't care less about them. I don't think this can be solved through politics. You know, basically there was a good result in the election 2 months ago, and 2 months later, because of the particular stupidity of the world's most unique peaceful transition of power. Whoever's waggling the dead husk of a moth-eaten sock puppet that is Joe Biden is still letting people into the country to kill you. You know, these things are beyond politics now. Andy says, wishing you and your family a healthy and happy 2025. I consider myself a niche Pennsylvanian. That is, I come from Pennsylvania, Dutch country. Our New Year's tradition has always been pork and sauerkraut. It stems from cabbage being green like money and the pork having something to do with the pig rooting in the ground, possibly for money, if my memory serves me. It all boils down to money from what I gather. Of course, I married a Southern belle. So now we have pork, sauerkraut, black-eyed peas and collards. What types of New Year's tradition does a niche Canadian have? Well, I must say, I've never been big for going out on New Year's Eve because there's too many crazies out and about. I mean, that applies the rest of the year now, even if you're in a very underpopulated rural thing. So the idea of doing a New Year in New York, in Times Square, or in Trafalgar Square in London, none of that has any appeal to me. And you won't be surprised to hear that as with my Bush de Noël at Christmas Eve, that I'd just assume. And actually, that's a bit unfair because I do like a traditional English. And I had lunch with one of the ladies who was on our Christmas Eve show. And as a gift, she gave me a traditional English fruitcake, which is a really good one, actually. And it's not something I think about a lot, but for my New Year treat, I did enjoy I don't want to think about it now because I ate too much of it too quickly, and so if I start conjuring it in my mind, I'll be coming down with indigestion on the show. They say, oh, we're late with this again. It's what are we now? It's 20 past 3. No, it's 20 to 4. Eastern time, North American Eastern, and this is your Clubland Q&A live around the planet. Oh, here's the highlight of the show, because Mark Stein has dropped by to tell you all about our upcoming weekend music show. Hey, this is Mark Stein. For our first show of 2025, we'll have songs from the continent and songs from the Commonwealth, songs for Epiphany and songs for when you're on trial at the Zanzibar High Court, plus a somewhat singular Sinatra sextet on the town, Saturday at 5 on Serenade Radio. And Saturday at 5 means 5 p.m. London time, which is 6 p.m. in Western Europe, or 12 midday in North American Eastern. This is Mark Stein, live around the planet. It is 19 to 4 Eastern time. That's 19 to 9 Greenwich Mean Time. A little behind, a lot ahead, according to where you chance to be on this turbulent earth. Let us get back to your questions, because it's a terrible... There was a terrorist attack that is... I mean, the thing about these terrorists is that they're oftentimes incompetent. So they'll plow a vehicle into a crowd of people, and they'll just succeed in killing a couple of people and then injuring others. But this is actually quite a successful one. And the fact that he is a veteran means that he's not as in... I mean, the way these guys... the one where they tried to kill Pam Geller in Texas and were taken out by a couple of constables. I mean, the way those guys were, like, just holding and waving around their guns as if they're just at an Afghan wedding told you that they weren't really serious. This guy has... This 2025 has started with a terror attack that killed 15 people and as with the Mandalay Bay business and lots of other stuff, there are elements about this that are extremely odd. I'll put it no higher than that, but as I said, I'm not interested in hearing the wanker cons defending the FBI. They should be out of business. Aaron Everett writes, Happy New Year, Mark. You had a line in your column this week about the struggles you see in the American Constitution. as I should always say, you know, I'm not saying, you know, the Canadian Constitution is better or the French Constitution. We're all going off the cliff. But the point about the US Constitution is that it was meant to prevent you going off the cliff, right? And as I like to point out, when I was in Trieste, and I'd forgotten if I ever knew that Trieste had been part of the Venetian Republic, and the Venetian Republic lasted 1,100 years on the trajectory set by whoever's in charge, been in charge during the Joe Biden years. What do you reckon to America making it to its 1,100th anniversary? But Aaron Everett writes, as an aside to that, for all you... He's always quoting me now. Quote, this is a quote from me. As an aside to that, for all you Constitution fetishists, I'm increasingly skeptical that a constitution designed for an homogeneous population of 2.5 million people can be applied to a third of a billion. I remember a similar line from After America. Oh, it's now you're doing the as I wrote 20 years ago bit. I remember a similar line from After America that asked, how long will a people continue to live under such a dysfunctional government to keep 50 stars on their flag? I'm wondering if that time in America can ever happen. Watching cabinet appointees head to Washington to beg the people they're supposed to reform for permission to reform them seems like a fool's errand, and why we constantly end up with no meaningful government reform. I want off the government racket ride where only the good guys play by the rules and everyone else takes advantage of the system. How do you see a possible breakup happening? Are there enough of us left that see the government as the prison keepers of our self-induced system that want that change? Well, just to deal with that last question, there's two things that happen in uncertain times. The people like Aaron, who think, well, you know, I would do just fine if this lousy government would just get out of the way, because it was the government that did COVID to me. It was the government that did lockdown to me. It was the government that did vaccines to me. And then when you really might appreciate a little bit of government intervention because a hurricane swept in and destroyed everything, we don't go to parts of the country where they might have a MAGA flag in the front yard. Yeah, there's people who think like Aaron does. I could do just fine if you guys would just get the hell out of the way. But there are an awful lot of others in uncertain times who petition their rulers to do more for them. And the question is always, you know, which side is in the majority? And it's a tougher question to answer in most countries than it ought to be. So I also think that the digital control of you, the freeborn citizen, the way the government knows everything about you, I think that makes things like the American Revolution or any revolution a lot less likely, because the government can total you. We just got a good lesson in that over the January 6th thing. The extraordinary effort the government went to get these people behind bars. Same thing after the three little girls were stabbed at Southport in England, the extraordinary effort Sir Keir Starmer went to. This is telling you something, that in a panopticon society where the government monitors you round the clock and where they're making it increasingly... I think I might have said this before, but I've said everything before. But my assistant's husband... who was a delightful fellow, but they didn't have their telephone number listed in the New Hampshire telephone directory because they thought it meant, you know, the government could find out where you were and all that kind of thing. So they were sort of off the grid. And a lot of people in New Hampshire, there's quite a big chunk of people who do this off the grid thing. And then one day she goes home and she goes... You've been wasting everything with this off the grid rubbish. And he goes, why? What do you mean? She goes, well, they've got this desktop computer in the library, and you can just they got this thing called Google. And if you look at it, they've got a big camera up in space. And if you click on it, you can see our house in the middle of the woods off the grid. But nevertheless, it's on Google Maps. This is a real change. And there's places in the world where they don't want to do this. You know, most people wouldn't want to live in the Pakistani frontier provinces, but that is sort of kind of off the grid for the moment. And in fact, we've got a sort of bifurcated thing. I mean, this is what's so ridiculous is that all the 11 million people, that's been constant now for 30 years. There's 11 million illegal aliens. Well, 11 million have come in during the so-called Biden administration alone. So I think it's closer to 50 million. It's got to be. But the thing is, all these people interact with the system to one degree or another. So the government, if the government can find the January 6th guys and toss them in solitary confinement, it should know roughly all the people, because you pay no price if you announce that. I've said this before. That's how I eventually got the, whatever they're called, the Federal Department of Labor, who kept ringing up asking stupid questions until I said, oh, no, we're all illegal here. I never heard from them again. They know where these... That's the thing. And that's an important point, which one of my GB News colleagues made to me on a show we did 2 or 3 years ago. The outcome... You know, when you have government as powerful as this, it can't plead that these outcomes are sort of unexpected. I mean, I don't buy the incompetence thing anymore. What's happening is what was supposed to happen. So the fact that you're now being shoved under the subway train in New York City, or you're being set on fire or whatever, this is what is... They want you living in fear, in part because of what I just talked about earlier, that if conditions are fractious... If it's not the way it was within living memory, although receding living memory, you know, then they're betting that people will want an ever more powerful government, and that advantages them. As to what it would take for people, I hope people, I am in favour. As I said, I don't believe you can vote your way out of this. Not in most countries. So the thing then is, should we have Gandhi like some peaceful protest type thing? Well, you can do that. But one thing we've learned over the last few years is the government, there are elements in the government that are not shy about killing you. And again, that changes the equation. I'm worried. I'm seriously worried that the word, because basically... Joe Biden was a preview of a future you won't be able to avoid, of America as a dysfunctional Latin American favela. Well, do you want to live in that? No, there's a reason why all this migration traffic is one way. Nobody wants to go and... Well, that's not true now. But the fact is, unless you want what they've done to this country with this mass migration business, unless you want to live in that kind of, I mean, how many gang rapes, how many people need to be lit up or whatever on the subway? I know we have readers who think that was a false flag operation. It may well be a false flag operation. I don't believe anything now. I certainly don't believe a word the FBI said when the spokesmoron comes out and says, oh, this is not terrorism. And then 20 minutes later, they announced the guy had an ISIS flag. They knew that. You know, as here's again, and I can't get over this. As I said, 4 years ago, I was making it. I never called Joe Biden President Biden because I didn't believe he'd won the election. And even if he had won the election, he was obviously not capable of functioning as the chief executive of the United States. So the question that, and all The court eunuchs of the American media all went along with this. Well, that in itself is a scandal and ought to be a scandal. It's as big a scandal as them going along with the FACO Russia investigation. Basically now we have people who think they are powerful enough to create a reality that is totally unreal and impose it on you. But what bothers me, and what bothers me as well, is the nice people. You know, the one I used to do this piece, I think, every 4 years. I did it, whatever it was, in 2020 when, you know, John Cleese, who talks a lot of sense about how his country is lost, and then says, oh, by the way, I'm voting for Biden. And Lionel Shriver does the same kind of thing, and then was all coy this time around and wouldn't say who she was voting for. And said, you know, the thing about the problem with Kamala is that obviously she's a nitwit and she wouldn't be able to govern the country. So there would be forces unknown governing. Who wants to live under that? I'd just like to know who's ruling me with an iron. I mean, this is the it's why the Chinese are still around and still in business when. You know, Stalin's gone and Hitler's gone and Mussolini's gone because everyone thinks, oh, the charismatic strongman. Well, when you have the uncharismatic strongman, the ones people don't know because they all these guys on the Politburo all look the same. They're just wearing these drab suits. They're not doing the big jutting chin Mussolini thing. They're not holding big Nuremberg rallies or whatever. This is that's the most effective dictatorship, where you don't even know who the dictator is. And we've had a preview of that the last 4 years. Who? This is we've got the greatest constitution. Well, yeah, well, who's been running the country the last 4 years? Why isn't it a scandal? Come on, wankercons, stop dancing around the constitution and answer a simple question. Who has been running this country for the last 4 years? It's so pathetic. Johnny Woodrow says, Happy New Year. I'm sorry, I told you I was angry. I'm very angry. I can't, you know, I'm not the most empathetic or sentimental guy, but I think of all these people, right, who today was the first day without a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter, whoever it was, that person's gone because of this truck that Joe Biden permitted to be driven across the border 2 days ago. Johnny Woodrow says, Happy New Year, Ma. If you're not angry about that, what's going to make you angry? And then I read about all this stuff about the anal gang rape of 11-year-old girls, right, in England. If that doesn't make you angry, what's going to make you angry? I always come back to that line, that George Orwell line, after going to that miners' meeting where he found the masses insufficiently riled up. There is no turbulence left in England. People keep emailing around, they've done it for a while, that sort of Baudelaire's bit of the Kipling poem. Kipling poem I've never particularly cared for. I certainly don't think it's one of his best. When the Saxons started to hate, is it? Which they Baudelaire's into when the English started to hate or whatever. So which do you bet on? When the Saxons started to hate or there was no turbulence left in England? The thing is, people should, after what happened to those girls in England, people should be mad enough to want to hang. The police and the social workers and the politicians are all on the other side. They're on the side of the Pakistani rape gangs. The institutions of England are on the side of the Pakistani rape gangs. Why just put up with it as if it's a 0.5% increase in capital gains tax? At some point, something's got to. Now we have another thing. You know, as I said, these things come along now, here, there, all over the entire Western world. 15 people are dead because of U.S. immigration policy, because of the pretense that this guy who did it is a, quote, Texas man. Anyway, Johnny Woodrow says, Mark, why is it impossible to make money from producing and selling life's necessities like meat and dairy, or to run a butcher's in the high street, for instance? Johnny is speaking Britannic English there. The high street would be Main Street in America. Our high streets and shopping centres are filled with empty shops. And yet, while most people can't afford the rents on a shop, it seems nail bars and halal pizza takeaways pop up everywhere. As well, immigration and higher birth rates among Asians, meaning a Hindu or a Muslim, is now my dentist, pharmacist, milkman, cab driver, financial advisor, and corner shop owner. The people building businesses in our high streets doing your nails so that holding a kebab covered in turkey ham looks glam for a 2 a.m. selfie are the ones who eventually find their way into local politics and shape civic life. Once upon a time, being a supplier of life's necessities for the local population gave you a living and earned you an influential foothold in society. Why can't indigenous white populations seem to get a foothold in the high street, and what story of the future are our high streets telling us? Well, there's not going to be any butchers because they don't want you eating meat. They want you eating crickets. And if you're like that Dutch Prime Minister who now works for the World Economic Forum, all the food is going to be produced in 5 global food hubs. So you won't need to have a, you know, why do you think this idea that, you can get your food delivered by the Trump thing that Trump did, where he showed the drones over New Jersey where people delivering Big Macs to Chris Christie. We have changed. We don't often, no change is in isolation, even small changes. Have huge implications. For example, the automatic gear shift, which is an American thing, is then taken up by Canada. But that's great for driving, if you consider driving in the... I don't personally like it. I love shifting gears. I love coming out of a corner and shifting up with a gear stick. But the... But if you look at it in isolation, it makes driving easier. But the other consequence is that it also enables you to eat in the car. So it's not even that you get takeout and then take it home to consume it in a simulacrum of a family meal. You can now eat it in the car. How convenient is that? Well, that's the reason why, everyone's 400 pounds. It's very hard. You get the special sauce lettuce and cheese all down your shirt front if you try to eat in a car with a manual gear shift. So small things can have ripple effects that are fundamental. Now, what you have here, what you're seeing on the high street is you're seeing I noticed this when I used to visit London to do the GB News show. I always, like, the West End is the West End, but it was always interesting if you had to go and see someone just a little out of the downtown core and you walk through what were... You know, London was a city of villages, and if you walked down, if you walked down the high street of one of those many villages, east, west, north, and south, you used to see the things that Johnny describes. But now you see, one thing you see, you do see a lot of nail bars. You see a lot, I don't even know, you say halal pizza takeaways. If you're in the East End, you're seeing, it's actually quite hard now to, I think we had this in The Prisoner of Windsor, because I was just struck by it, though. I was in the East End. It's very hard to find a traditional chippy now, because there are no Cockneys. So you have tribal takeouts aimed at their particular tribe. Then you have the telephone shop, because, you know, the mobile telephone is life. That's life now. There is hardly any life left beyond the mobile telephone. So you have to have 1,001 shops selling mobile telephones in one form or another. It's the conversion of something. It's the conversion of real life and real. You can see it. You can see it in on the average high street. It's the conversion of real life and real community into an atomized world where people, you need some, if your phone breaks and you need to get a new phone because you haven't been able to download something for 15 minutes, you need somewhere on the high street that will connect you back to that world, because that's the real world now. It's a terror. We've changed. We're basically reconfiguring humanity, which is a weird, people are happy about that, but we should at least talk about it honestly. Chris Davis says, Mark, I hope you are well and are enjoying the 12 days of Christmas. How I do actually enjoy the 12 days of Christmas. We got like a little bit of pre-Epiphany music on the town at Serenade Radio on Saturday. Chris Davis says, how hopeful are you that 2025 may see the rebound of Christendom? Or is the assimilation of the developed world into the global caliphate an inevitability? Keep well, Mark, says Chris. Well, I was heartened. You'll recall that Ayaan Hirsi Ali became a believing Christian. I think it was 2023. And that was always the thing that was missed. She's an incredibly brave woman, and terrible things have happened to her throughout her life, but that was always the gap, that she believed in secular humanism, so-called, that it was going to be able to save us. That the hyper-rationalist view, you know, you could think that God and all that kind of stuff was just a lot of hogwash, and you didn't need a transcendent meaning to society. People, it's not going to be like that. People are going to have to recover that. And so I was, but just to go back to Ayaan, so I was sort of impressed that she'd seen that and that she had become a believing Christian. Well, her husband, Neil Ferguson, the historian, he gave an interview to, I think it was to The Australian, a couple of days before Christmas, in which he, for the first time, disclosed that he had too had become a believing Christian. And we actually need more than that. The utilitarian thing, this idea that if, oh, we just like the old building, how is that going to work? Oh, we like the old building. Yeah, no, I don't go for the whole virgin birth thing or son of God thing, but I really like the old buildings and the old songs and the general oldness of these things. That doesn't work. When is it? Have you walked through any modern Western city over a certain size? They're all ugly. People are not going to. If it's a choice between venerating some old building or putting up an ugly strip mall, people go with the ugly strip mall. If it's a choice between listening to some delightful old parlour ballad from the 19th century or the hippity hop about hoes and bitches, people go with the hoes and bitches. That hasn't saved. Look around you. A cultural argument has never worked. Look at the state of our arts, even the small arts, the popular arts. That argument isn't going to. It hasn't saved music. It hasn't saved opera. It hasn't saved painting. It hasn't saved sculpture. Why then would it save religion? That argument is never going to work. So you actually need to do the Niall Ferguson thing. And I find that pretty odd in a way, the fact that he's signed on to this thing. In the Michel Houellebecq novel, Submission, the most painful passages to read are the ones where he tries to reconnect with his lost Catholicism and cannot do it. And so I find the Niall Ferguson thing heartening. I find when Ava Vladingerbroek switched to Catholicism, I find that heartening. You know, you're going to have to... People like Justin Welby... or Pope Francis aren't going to convert anybody. In fact, they would be embarrassed to have a proselytizing Christianity, to have an embracing Christianity, to have a growing Christianity, because their whole thing is, oh, you know, we're all the same and, you know. That you're going to have to make that journey yourself. And so when people do make that journey, when people think seriously about it, Ava gave a speech. It was one of these conservative conference things in, I think it was in Europe somewhere. And they're all cool. They think you can get, they think you can actually, they're still going with the hyper-rationalist route. The hyper-rationalist route, the secular humanist route, is a way of ensuring that you'll lose your society and your kids and grandkids will be Muslim. You have to have a transcendent... All the great things, you know, that horrible service that Macron hosted for the opening of Notre Dame, which felt dead to me... People planted trees 1,000 years ago. People planted trees they would never live to see grow because they understood there was something after them. They understood that the stream of life is the flow from past to present to future. It's basically a compact between the present and the past and the future. And as Tom Wolfe said, I think this is in After America, is that Europe stepped out of the stream. It's all about the moment now. And that's true elsewhere too. That's true in Canada. That's true in America. And so, and you can't have functioning politics in that. The whole thing, there was some idiot from the so-called Biden administration who was talking about, you know, well, it's very difficult on the political timelines of democratic politics because they're just 4-year terms and all that. And we're not going to see all the fruits of what Biden accomplished for 100 years, you know. that's idiotic. But he was making a point there that the thing is, if you live in a hyper-present tense culture, that culture is a dying culture. That's why I'm a conservative. This idea that anything more than 3 years old is bollocks and doesn't count for anything because they didn't, it's got nothing to say about transgender bathrooms. You know, we have self-moronized ourselves into our countries, into a very dangerous stage. You know, the thing we used to use as an insult to the Muslim world, you know, we're going to bomb them into the 7th century or whatever the line was. Yeah, it was a funny line. You can't have a society that is as present tense as this. Anyway, I'm actually angry. I am angry, and we need to. And there needs to be more anger, because actually, there has to be some pushback against these things, and there has to be extra democratic pushback. You know, they don't care about your vote. In America, you got all these fake-o, phony voting machines and everything. And in, you know, most of the other countries, They've got a pretty sweet arrangement now where voting doesn't change anything. I want everything to change on January the 20th, and I want people to be punished for what they did. I'd like to see Fauci in the dock. I think it's important. I certainly think it's important that... And here's the thing as well, is that because all the judges are corrupt and all the, you know, that Durham guy, the one guy he brought into court and whatever, that was a big nothing. Yeah, the judges are rotten. The law enforcement is rotten. The revenue agency is rotten. There's a lot of that. But you can do, these people need to be weeded out and it not be respectable to employ them. You know, so that these guys getting CNN contracts, for example. Why then go on CNN? If CNN are going to reward all the people who came up with the phony baloney Russia thing and Operation Crossfire Hurricane, why reward CNN by going on their crap network? You know, people have got to play hardball about this. People have got to play hardball about it. Everything's corrupted. I don't know how everything's corrupted, and everything is before it can be decorrupted. The people who benefited from the corruption, you hire Merrick Garland, nobody's going to go on your network ever again. They've got to be serious about all this stuff. Mark Jensen says, we've got time for one more, I think. The new year comes in with a crash, a boom, and much wailing. The soundtrack of the demise of the West by the Barbarians have been inside the gates for some time. So our beloved prophet Mark Stein, PSBUH, that's pocket squares be upon him. What predictions have you for after January 20th? Will there be a marked shift in the decrepit First World, pushing these barbarians back across the borders of civilization? DMC, notwithstanding, have you any real hope for meaningful and lasting change? And is there any glimmer on the horizon for your cases? Any chance that you'll only owe the man boy a dollar? I realise that Britain is a lost cause and haven't a shred of hope for your ultimate victory there. A pox upon their rotten houses. But I continue to pray for relief here. Updates? Are you even allowed to opine in public? Look here. I don't want to do a whole thing. Here's the thing. I've been waiting. We're coming up to the first anniversary of the post-trial motions that were submitted after the $1 million thing. It's very stressful, you know, living with these, even if people say, oh, by the time you get it to the Supreme Court. We filed post-trial motions that in a functioning system, you know, he should have given us an answer on in 10 days. He doesn't want to give us an answer on because he doesn't want to take the heat for it. So Judge Irving wants to leave it to the, I think it's the seventh trial judge. I used to talk about, he was the sixth because there was a third or fourth trial judge who barely registered with me. So he hasn't, when you haven't even ruled on post-trial motions when the trial ended a year ago, I'm not going to live to see the final disposition of this case, which is evil. So I'm now, I probably shouldn't say this, but I am basically in favour of, extrajudicial action. Because there's no, this is not, these systems destroy lives. My life is pretty much destroyed by this. But the thing about it is, somebody has to be out there. We still have too much over gatekeeping. You know, where people are very concerned, like, you know, the idea that Fraser Nelson is any kind of conservative. You know, he's fine. If you think a conservative is someone who smooths the transition to an Islamic society, to a great nation, four great nations, in fact, in the case of the United Kingdom, eventually becoming Islamic crap holes. I don't mean that in an Islamophobic way, but it's actually quite hard to find, of all the 60 countries in the world that are Islamic, it's actually very hard to find one that isn't a crap hole. But, you know, again, if that's what passes for a conservative, you lose your country. That's it, you know. And the over-gatekeeping. For example, it's too late for Canada. It's too late for the UK. It's too late for France. It's too late for Germany. I did that tweet, retweeted or whatever it was, a tweet that says almost half of so-called Germans under 15 now are either migrants or the children of migrants. So Germany is gone. France is gone. The option, I said this 20 bloody years ago. The longer you leave it, the worse the options get, because you now have to have re-migration. You now basically have to repatriate people to the countries they came from, which, as we've seen in certain parts of Scandinavia, they're now doing. But unless you're willing to do that, you're basically saying, I was thinking of becoming leader of the Conservative Party, but it may be better for me to become an imam now. I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. I'm always hopeful, because it's not about a matter of numbers. It's the people who want it most. It's the people who look at what Islam has accomplished before it's got to 10% of the population, because it's all the nice people. The problem is all the your nicest neighbours, you know, the ladies d'un certain âge who listen to NPR and they don't want to hear any of this, you know, far right talk radio or whatever, because that's all so unpleasant and beastly, and they just want to be nice. And liberalism flatters you into a niceness that gets the 11-year-old girls of Yorkshire anally gang raped. So it's not nice. It's not nice at all. It involves discarding huge numbers of your fellow citizens on the garbage heap, piling up a huge mound of human catastrophe. I can't stand that. And the resolution for 2025 is to move the meter and to move it and to actually point out to your NPR listening ladies d'un certain âge that they're colluding with evil. And eventually the truck ploughing through the crowd will be coming for your kid or your grandkid. So stop preening and primping yourself and listening to NPR, because you're colluding with evil. which is I don't know whether that's a hopeful note or not, but that's what's going to happen. The nice people have got to get off their asses and get real. And understand. And it's interesting to me, they're making their own lives. Vermont is a dump. Burlington, Vermont, which David Brooks at the New York Times hailed as the coming post-political latte town. That's now a feast of stab. We don't want your racist fear. Refugees are welcome here. Oh, well, all those quote-unquote refugees are stabbing all the people. Burlington, Vermont, which it props up basically all the broken-down rural parts of Vermont, is a crap hole now. So all the NPR listening people have got to get real on these things. And if you know any of those people, you got to start converting them. This has been Mark Stein's Clubland Q&A. That's going to do it for today. Stick with Stein Online, because we've got our regular Thursday date with Laura's Links. Laura Rosen-Cohen will round up the internet as only she can. And if you're still toying with the pros and cons of joining the Mark Stein Club, come on in. The water's fine. I mean that literally, because our cruise will be sailing from Portugal in April. Stay safe, stay free, stay well.
Mark Stein's Clubland Q&A is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and Oak Hill Media. rights reserved.